Our scripture this morning is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17. It is found on page 694 of the Pew Bibles. 694. We are Matthew, chapter 17. And we'll read the first nine verses. Six days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." May God's blessings be upon this reading this morning. So Jesus led Peter, James, and John up a high mountain to be forever changed. While they were there, they saw Elijah and Moses. They were enveloped by God's Spirit when that bright cloud overshadowed them, and full of fear when they heard God's voice say, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." That, my friends, is where we came up with the term mountaintop experience. There are certain places that I go that I know I will experience God. And mountains are one of those places. As I've shared with you all before, I spent my childhood, a lot of it, in Eastern Kentucky mountains, where my grandparents lived. The mountains hold such power and mystery, because when you're at the base of the mountain and you're looking up, you just feel so small. And yet when you're on top of the mountain and can see for miles and miles and miles, you can feel so big. As we walk up the mountain trails, the air cools, the smells are fresh, the sounds and experiences that we have through all of our senses in the mountains is very precious. We can easily feel God's presence there. And I hope that all of us in this room have been to the mountains, whether it be the Appalachians or the Rockies, the Sierra Nevada or the Ozarks or some other place. I hope we've all been at least on top of one mountain, because mountaintop experiences are prevalent, important in the Bible. People encountered God, as we know, on Mount Sinai and Mount Horeb. It was on top of the mountain that Elijah experienced God as a still small voice. The resurrected Christ met with the disciples on a mountain near Galilee to give them their final instructions. It was there that he said, "Go to the ends of the earth, making disciples of all." It was on a mountain that Moses had meetings with God more than one time. It was there that God's presence was with Moses in a cloud also. It was there that Moses received the Ten Commandments. His time with God was so powerful that when he came down the mountain, he had been so changed spiritually and physically that people couldn't look at him. He was glowing and had to wear a veil. Encounters with God change us. And our passage today is about such a transformation. Jesus, it says, was transfigured, appeared dazzling white on the mountain. What farmers and nature enthusiasts have always known through their life experience of being and working outside is being confirmed by research and science now. Research tells us that people need to spend time outside regularly. Whether it is on a mountaintop or in a park or backyard, for their physical and spiritual health. Being outside in nature is good for the brain and good for our soul. Outside we breathe in clean air and we move our bodies and we are stimulated through all our senses. In nature we experience God's beauty and majesty. We discover God in the intricacy of a spider web. We see God's complexity in tiny snowflakes. We experience God's magnificence on a mountain and mystery in the clouds and on and on and on. It is in nature that we are made curious and are amazed. It is in creation that we can so easily find God. And through those experiences, we are changed. We are transformed. As you all know, I'm a big fan of the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. All three of my kids were involved in scouting. Ben and Elijah starting at age 7 as Tiger Scouts, went all the way through and finished at 18 when they were Eagle Scouts. And Sarah started as a little daisy and finished as a Girl Scout. And for more than 10 years, our family was a scouting family. We went on many scouting trips and helped teach skills for badges and, of course, went camping. Whether it was nice weather or not nice weather, we were out there camping. There are many things I appreciate about the scouting program, but really the primary one is the emphasis on the outdoors. Scouts go camping and hiking and canoeing, but they also play outside and they study nature and they learn important skills for being outside and a reverent appreciation for creation. And then they have the whole thing of leave no trace, trying to leave places at least as good as they found it, if not better. As you all know, before God called me into ministry, I was a teacher. And as a teacher, I watched my children absorb like sponges. You know, you always hear that. Children are sponges. They seem to soak up knowledge and gain understanding through all their senses all of the time. It is why children learn new languages with such ease. And once I saw this and experienced this firsthand as a teacher, I quickly understood for myself that the kids need to be outside as much as possible. Because when we are outside, there's so much more to take in through the five senses than when we're in a building with four walls and a ceiling and a floor. Outside, children learn biology and chemistry and botany and weather and entomology and astronomy. And so I took my kids outside for instruction and lessons and just to discover and free play. You know, they say before air conditioning, and I remember the days before air conditioning, and before internet, kids always wanted to be outside. Mom, can I go outside? Was the frequent question, the daily question that kids ask. There wasn't anything to do inside, and in the summer, it was too hot to stay inside. But today, kids have computers and cell phones and shows on demand and streaming and climate control. And kids today, therefore, don't get bored. Now, as parents, it is sometimes nice to have a little less whining and complaining. But what we have to also understand is that boredom is actually important for our brains. Boredom initiates creativity and curiosity. When we're bored, we learn how to entertain ourselves. When we are bored, in the stillness and quiet is when we're more likely to experience the holy, to hear God. Constant stimulation and a lack of boredom increases the likelihood of attention problems and learning difficulties and behavior challenges. And the lack of time outside in the natural world can cause another problem that they've labeled nature deficient disorder. Kids with this condition lack normal understandings of how the world works in the natural world. Kids with this disorder have shorter attention spans, lack curiosity. Kids with this disorder lack the same level of appreciation for beauty and for living things. Kids with nature deficit disorder spend most of their time inside in front of a screen. They come to expect constant stimulation and immediate gratification. They are never or very rarely bored. Now, as an educator, when I was a teacher, the prevalence of this disorder concerned me. But as a minister, it causes me great distress because of how I imagine it impacts our faith and faith development. There are many ways that we come to know God and develop our faith, obviously through the teachings of our families, through the traditions of our church, by hearing or reading the Bible, through our ability to think about and wrestle with those readings, through various holy experiences that we have as children are born and as people die. But today, the largest growing sector of our population labels themselves no religion. Less than half of American families attend church, and even less than that ever read or study the Bible. So, from this pastor's perspective, it is imperative that children have access, regular access, and plenty of time in nature. It is outside in the natural world that children and adults experience the holy. Can you imagine what this could mean for our children's faith if they don't grow up going to church or hearing the Bible or spending any regular time outside? It causes me great distress. The Apostle Paul said, "Ever since the creation of the world, His eternal power and divining nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things He has made." Irenaeus in the 2nd century said, "The initial step for a soul to come to knowledge of God is contemplation of nature." In the 3rd century, one of our desert fathers said, "My book is the nature of created things, and as often as I have a mind to read the words of God, they are at hand." St. Augustine wrote, "There is a great book, the very appearance of created things. Look above you, look below you, note it, read it. God, whom you want to discover, never wrote that book with ink. Instead, He set before your eyes the things He has made." Martin Luther said, "God writes the gospel, not in the Bible alone, but also in the trees and in the flowers and the clouds and the stars." George Washington Carver said, "I love to think of nature as an unlimited broadcasting station through which God speaks to us every hour if only we tune in." God is understood by humans through the things of nature, but we have to tune in. We have to get ourselves and our children outside. God has ordered the world so that even without church or family teaching or the Bible or missionaries, that all humankind can know God if they spend outside time regularly. And not only is our faith developed there in the natural world, it is also deepened and expanded. Our faith development never stops as long as we continue to tune in. We experience the immensity of God and the grandeur of nature. We experience the miracles of God through newborn animals, through tiny flowers that bloom. When we plant seeds and pull weeds and dig in the dirt and find worms and pick fruit and taste it and then watch it all wither and die and then grow again, we experience death and resurrection. As stated in Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth, but it all began with God's Spirit blowing across the chaos of the waters. It all began with the wind of God or the breath of God going out and imbuing all that God created with God's divinity. All of the earth is filled with God's glory. Reading Matthew's account this morning of the Transfiguration is wonderful and mysterious, but can you imagine actually being there? Can you imagine being invited by this man who you can't quite figure out, but who you're so drawn to, whom you adore, whose presence just brings you peace, being so honored to be chosen to go and then go on this hike with him and your closest friends? The crunch of the rocks under your feet, the breeze on your face, the smell of the dirt and the trees, and then getting out of breath as you walk harder and higher and higher, and then arriving at the top and taking in the view. Can you imagine? And then you look up and you see Moses and Elijah. And then you're enveloped by a bright cloud and you hear God's voice. Can you imagine? We learn a whole lot by reading and studying Scripture and by discussing it and wrestling with it together. But hopefully, the things that we experience and worship through music and prayers and being together is also enriched and deepened when we go outside. The passage that we read this morning is referred to as the Transfiguration, because Jesus was transformed, transfigured. But the disciples were also transformed. They were changed by their mountaintop experience. Their understanding of Jesus was changed through that experience. Their relationship to him and to each other changed. This was an important experience in their lives. And every fiber of their being and all of their senses were present and alive and changed. That transformative event could not have taken place on a screen. Our call as people who love God and who love children is to get them and ourselves outside regularly in nature so that we might be transformed and transfigured from our encounters with God. May it be so. Amen.